Hi again, Medical Education Podcast listeners. This is Kevin Eva, the editor-in-chief of the journal, coming to you today with a conversation with somebody who really seems to be a bit of a citizen of the globe. She's sitting in Portugal at the moment. Her name is Emelina Brouwer, and she works for Maastricht, actually, in their School of Health Professional Education, but travels so much in her role as International Project Program Coordinator. She and her colleagues have a paper entitled Being International is Always a Good Thing, a multi-center interview study on ethics in international medical education, coming out in the journal in May 2020. And I'm very grateful, Emelina, despite all of your travels, that you've managed to squeeze in some time to talk about this.
I think it's great to talk to you today. Thank you for the invitation.
Yeah, no, thanks for making the time. I hadn't realized before we started talking just how deeply embedded this was in the life that you're leading. So maybe I should start by just asking how one becomes an international project coordinator like this and what it means in terms of your day-to-day activities.
Yes, sure. Happy to talk a bit about that. I was a medical student once, already quite interested in the world, in global health, considering working abroad as a doctor or not completely sure how and where. And I think during my medical studies, developed an interest in education and found a way that how can I combine my interest in globalization and global development in medical education. And then I was lucky enough really to find this position at the School of Health Professions Education in Maastricht, where all these interests seem to come together. My daily job now looks like collaborating with quite a few institutions globally, mostly universities and medical schools, who are interested in developing a new curriculum or changing instructional method or an assessment program. And they contact Maastricht University to work together with us and develop a problem-based learning design or a new assessment tool. And I try to coordinate and manage these collaborations as best as we can.
You mind just elaborating a little bit on the types of projects and the length and who typically gets involved? I think it might be useful context in terms of helping people understand the types of activities that you were interested in studying in the project that we'll discuss.
Yes, I'm happy to do that. And then maybe I should clarify that there's projects that we work in, and I'll elaborate on that. And then there's a teaching program that this research project that we'll talk about was embedded in that are two slightly different things. So the projects I work in internationally are mostly capacity building projects. Some of them are in a consultancy type of collaboration, but most of them are donor funded. For example, a current project I work in Ethiopia, where we support two medical schools and a national government who have written a national curriculum adapting problem-based learning. And we do a lot of teacher training and staff capacity building to make sure they can implement this curriculum as good as possible. And the study we present and we talk about today talks also about internationalization in medical education, but is embedded in three different universities that run a medical program for international students, explicitly preparing them for a global career.
And are you directly involved on the ground for these programs in these different sites, or is it local faculty who are typically running the program but trained up to do so?
Yes, mostly. Although in my own work in Maastricht, I do have some teaching responsibilities in our own international program. That's a small part of my job. But in the other two schools involved in this particular paper, I do not have any role or responsibility other than this research connection.
Okay, thank you. That's helpful context. And so it's comforting to know that somebody whose job is to reach out and engage in international projects like this, that be worried about the ethics of doing so. And this paper obviously is about whether or not it's always a good thing, as is written in the title. And so what was it that you've been observing that led you to believe this was something that warranted some more deliberate study?
Yeah, two things. I think generally I try to question what we do or critical towards it. And a question that comes back many times is, for example, if we spread this idea of problem-based learning that Maastricht is quite famous for, I think, and sharing it a lot with people all over the world, but is that really the right thing to do for everyone in every context, in every culture, in every situation? So we try to think critically about that in our day-to-day project collaboration work. But then also in this program, the medical education that we run with a lot of international students who study in a language that's not their first language, we teach in a language that is not our first language, this question comes up not frequently, but sometimes, is this the right thing to do? Is this how we should and want to do medical education in this globalizing world? So the question that led up to this research project really came from our day-to-day work and our day-to-day questions in that work.
And these were questions that have been raised in a variety of circumstances, I'm gathering. And what was it about this particular program with this three-school collaboration that led you to believe it would be a useful context in which to address these issues?
I think I'm not the only one, or we are not the only ones who ask this question, and I've seen quite a few examples in the literature where, for example, Bleakley and also Brian Hodges question how globalization influences medical education and what are the potential negative consequences of that. And I was becoming more and more aware of that literature base, and at the same time, in practice with my colleagues in teaching, those types of discussions never really happened, and it didn't seem to be a very well articulated concern or widespread concern. So that was, I think, one of the reasons why we thought this would be an interesting study to do. And we thought that these types of programs that we study form a very interesting example or case study maybe to study this topic in.
Was there any particular reason, though, that you chose these particular sites of all those that you might have recruited?
Yeah, so we first decided which types of programs are eligible for these projects. So we looked for schools who had an active international student recruitment, so a very diverse group of students who taught in a language that's not the native language for those students and the teachers. So that was English in these cases, but that was not the language in the countries where those schools are based. And who then somehow changed their curriculum or adapted their curriculum to prepare students for these globalizing worlds. And we thought that these three elements made it an interesting example for the study. And then we chose the three because then within those three schools, we saw quite different curriculum setup, different reasons why there was an international program in the first place. So we thought that would give us a very diverse perspective on the topic that we studied.
Great. And how did you go about studying it? Just methodologically, you mentioned that you interviewed individuals, the leaders and teaching staff from these schools, to talk about their experience. But were there particular prompts that seemed valuable to help you get at the root of phenomenon you're trying to address?
Yeah, there was. We used some examples that we saw in the literature, some of the ethical concerns that were raised, and we asked our participants explicitly whether they recognized them or not. One example being if the students come from all these different backgrounds with different languages, different cultural backgrounds, how is their well-being safeguarded when they have traveled from far distances maybe to study in this particular place, and is that in the curriculum? Is that something you worry about? There was another concern that we discussed that if we prepare students or we try to prepare students for a global career, so whether they should be able to practice everywhere, how do you make sure that that works? Is that then still a relevant doctor for any local community? How do you think about that? How do you go about that in teaching? These kind of examples used in our interviews.
And so the focus sounds to me like it was very much on how are these broader concepts or ethical dilemmas being experienced in practice. And I wonder if I can just ask you to choose a few of the highlights in terms of what people shared with you in terms of what was it that they're seeing on the ground that may have connected or misaligned with the way that people are talking about this in the literature.
Yeah, I think the most interesting or striking finding in our interviews across the context was that these ethical concerns were not very commonly experienced at all. I think the very main narrative in our results was a very positive one, people being very happy with and proud at their international program, really believing in the strengths of it and in the opportunity it had for both students and societies to gain from these programs, that they were really the way to go in our globalizing world, that there was really almost only positive experiences shared around it. And many of the ethical concerns that I try to prompt with based on the literature were not really recognized or even clearly rejected. So I think that was the main finding, that people really did not experience many or any ethical concerns at all in their day-to-day work.
Very important observation, as we do have a lot of these concerns raised in theory quite regularly, and that they're not raised often doesn't mean they shouldn't be concerns, but too easy to lose sight of the prevalence of some of these things as we talk more and more about them.
Yeah, exactly. And so upon further analysis of the data, and sometimes upon really sharing examples from the literature and asking teachers to respond, we did find some examples of ethical concerns, of dilemmas that they would face in practice, but they were hardly ever raised spontaneously. But yes, we did find, for example, a worry about homogenization of both teaching methods and content. So in these international programs, there is a lot of emphasis in making it globally relevant, so a lot of emphasis on global standards for medical education and assessment, people trying to make sure that students can fit USMLE examinations, for example, even though their study context is very, very far from the US in terms of geographic measures. And some teachers experienced that trying to adhere to all these different standards from far away would be a risk, I guess, for education quality or relevance of the education locally, or the autonomy of the teacher, for example. Mm-hmm. So that was one of the examples of an ethical dilemma that some of the teachers did experience.
Right, and I suppose we should also be careful to note that the participants in this study are likely predisposed to be relatively positive. If they'd had a particularly negative history with this sort of activity, they presumably wouldn't be involved in a program like this. But even in this group where they are relatively positive, as you see some of these issues arise, my understanding of your results is that most of the dilemmas arose in tension with benefits that they were seeing, to the point that some of the things that were considered to be valuable outcomes from the program were put in tension by some of these dilemmas that were raised, and vice versa. So it's not an easy resolution to simply overcome some of these challenges. How do your participants grapple with that?
Yeah, so exactly. So the example I just mentioned, that some teachers struggle to fit in all the international standards or regulations, was coupled with the experience that the same international standards brought a lot to the education and brought a lot of opportunities. Exposure to best practices in education, for example, was mentioned frequently, that it was good to include competency-based education or skills education that was developed elsewhere and then use it in these international programs, and teachers believe that that really benefited education quality as well. So in the end, yes, there was a challenge, but that was not a reason to not pursue this type of education. In the end, they believe the benefits clearly outweighed the potential challenges.
And so were they able to offer any insights to you in terms of how to continue engaging in quality improvement to try to minimize the negatives from the dilemmas and maximize the positives that were on the flip side of each of those coins?
That's a question we were hoping to find answers to, and I think they were not so very present in our data in the end. I think mainly interview participants, because they had in the end this positive narrative, they had already found ways to not worry too much about the dilemmas in their day-to-day practice. They mentioned it when they explicitly asked, but not as something they had to deal with on a day-to-day basis. So then also they couldn't really share any particular strategies with me about that. We did, of course, think about it ourselves and discuss that a little bit in the paper, but not particularly based on the data itself.
Okay, so in terms of speculation, I'm just thinking about others who are engaged in internationalization and might want to put some thought into how to anticipate or guard against some of these dilemmas. What's your best piece of advice for such individuals?
That's really something we thought about and talked about a lot while doing this piece of research. And I think one thing that we can learn from this work is that it's not that the ethical dilemmas are not there, they're just not discussed that much and not experienced that much, but that might mean that the potential risks are real and there should be more awareness of that on the practice side of things. So any school working around internationalization, being it in an international program or in a regular program but still trying to work with global issues, I think should stop and think briefly about the potential ethical dilemmas before implementing these programs. And one example that came also in our data a few times is if you mix a big group of international students, there is a big role for cultural awareness, for language training, maybe mentoring programs to make sure these students' well-being is safeguarded during their study process. And teachers can play an important role in that. Well, actually, that is something that the schools in our study did, because they had learned it was important for their international student group. So there are some examples to think about, yes.
Great, yeah. And I think we can direct listeners to the paper itself for a few additional examples. As always, we won't have time to get into all the details, but I do want to thank you for being so deliberate and thoughtful about trying to study these things and trying to ensure that the good does outweigh the harm, and look forward to seeing how your work in this area continues to give us better advice in terms of how to ensure that's more the norm than not, that the good does outweigh the bad. So congratulations on this work and on all of your internationalization efforts.
Thank you. Let's look forward to a well-balanced future then.
Yeah. Well, and for those who do want the more detailed advice that you've just been offering, the paper that we've been discussing is called Being International is Always a Good Thing, in quotes, a multi-center interview study on ethics in international medical education. And the first author on that work who you've been listening to is Emmeline Brouwer. Best of luck, Emmeline, and as I said, we'll look forward to seeing what comes next.
Thank you very much.